You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
She's got my key, and she knows how to use it. Your late night, highly caffeinated host, the one and only smoking artist, Allison Brenner.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Allison Bricker Show here on Daily Paul Radio. I am, of course, your host, Allison Bricker, broadcasting live from the Constitution Free Zone. Today has been one of those days, technologically speaking, that if I could strangle my telco, I probably would, even though I'm not a fan of violence. Anyway, we have lots of good stuff tonight, but first, I have two guests tonight. It's a twofer on the Allison Bricker Show. I'm not even quite sure how to say that, but we'll be talking gay Arizona, Ouija boards, how to start a black market business, all the good stuff that you want to know here on the Allison Bricker Show. So without further ado, let's bring these two gentlemen onto the show. Welcome, Taryn Lupo and Brian Hagen. How are you both doing this evening?
Great and dandy, Allison. I am so happy to be here along with my old compatriot, Taryn Lupo. How are you, my dear?
I am doing excellent, and I'm so happy to have the both of you on. I've heard really good things. You guys are supposed to have some really good chemistry back and forth. But I want to let you guys announce, what have we been talking about for the last couple of weeks?
Cats. We're always talking about cats.
Mainly my cats, yeah. And Allison, you have a cat?
No, I only have a dog. I'm a dog person. I'm allergic to cats.
On this show.
I was worried about disclosing that to you because I thought, well, Taryn might just cancel the entire interview.
I just might. I'm thinking about it. Brian's going to have to talk me down.
Well, yeah, because Taryn, you're just going to have to calm your heels, my friend. See, Allison, Taryn's a little more hardcore than I. Yeah, I'm a big cat guy, but I know in this world that we have to love all types. I have a lot of friends who are dog people, and I've learned to adjust. While it might not be my animal of choice, it's theirs of choice, and they have that right, and I'm not going to tread on anyone's parade because of that choice.
That sounds like an excellent libertarian solution. Sorry, Taryn, go ahead.
No, I was talking that maybe we should start passing laws, but Brian keeps disagreeing with me that we're going to pass laws, at least one cat mandatory. I mean, it could be an outdoor cat. I would say like one indoor, two outdoor, possibly. And I figured we could just tack it on to the healthcare bill like they did everything else.
But see, that's where I have to stop you, Taryn. We can't make it a legislative issue. We have to do an outreach to everyone and show them why cats are wonderful. And once they're educated with the love of cats, they'll voluntarily get a cat in their household.
No, people can't be trusted. They won't get a cat on their own unless they're mandated. I don't believe that.
Just like education and everything else.
So if you like your cat, then you can keep your cat.
Oh, that's very, very clever. Yes, you can keep your cat.
I've heard a similar politician make a promise, something along those lines. Back in 08, I think it was, and then like 122 times up until today.
Don't trust him, Allison. Taryn, like all politicians, says you can keep your cat. Before long, he's stealing them all. He's catnapping them all for himself.
And I'm replacing them with many other sick cats.
Right on. Will there only be six animal shelters then where I can purchase a cat and a government-approved cat from?
That's right. And the wait will at least be 3 years. But you can get like ones that have major hairball issues or some sort of odor. Those will be, you know, sped up.
Yeah. Mangy cat adoptions for everyone.
Yeah.
Instantaneous.
As long as as long as the trains run on time and the cats purr, then Americans will be happy to accept forcibly cats into their homes.
Yeah. And that's it. I mean, people just can't be trusted to make good decisions for themselves. We have to make them. And so that comes to cat ownership all the way. I would even go as far as dog ownership. I don't know. We'll have to inspect your dog and come around to see if you're worthy.
Well, I was going to say, it sounds like you're a bit of a cat wing extremist. And I think in order to have some sort of bi-animal Coke song-esque thing, we need to include dogs as well.
I think you have to go across the board, because like government loves to do, we just need to move into other areas and expand. Because I'm sure I could hire a whole bunch of more bureaucrats and / IRS agents to make sure that you have a dog and a cat, just like healthcare. And I figure that you'll get fined for a year or two and a lot of dirty letters for a while. And then after a while, we'll come and put you in jail, as they've been threatening to do.
With your dog and cat in the same cell.
But you'll still be responsible to feed them.
Of course.
In jail. Yeah, in jail. You'll have to pay for it.
Well, now, gentlemen, the first question that I was going to ask you was, we kind of had an announcement, right? Are you guys now backing out of coming on to Daily Paul Radio, or are you trying to obfuscate the issue with this cat talk?
No, not at all, Allison, not at all. And really, if anything, that was just a very good preface to what we need to announce tonight, because, well, cats being our love is exactly what we plan on bringing to this illustrious radio network. As Taryn and I, well, we've been developing a show. Taryn Lupo, explain the premise.
All right. The show is called Liberty Cats, and it's about, obviously, liberty issues, and we do bring on guests to talk about their cats, and of course, we talk about our own cats. It will be cat-heavy, but we will talk about some liberty issues scattered in there.
So listeners can then expect a very cat-centric show. Will there be video? Will there be accompanying video? Will you be our first video feed on Daily Paul? Will there be cats on parade?
Oh, man, if we could figure that out. Yeah, and we figure that we'll at least get people to submit their own cats every day, and we'll talk about it. Because, you know, they do power the internet. And if you deny that fact, you're in serious, serious trouble. That, you know, a cat will bring your ratings way up, and your listenership, especially if it's their cat. Like, if you let them post their cat pictures all over your page, you're in good shape.
Well, and that's why anonymous members all wear masks. They're not even human. They're all cats. And that's what they're trying to disguise.
I have people in the chat room telling me that cats are evil.
Evil?
They are what? Evil cats.
Oh, my goodness.
They're the first ones getting them on our mandatory law. They will be first in line.
Yeah, they'll be getting the cats before anybody. You know, I have to tell you, and a shout out to the chat room, but I do have to say my heart just dropped, and I feel very saddened all of a sudden, Allison, because anyone who thinks that a cat is evil is just a person I can't trust.
I can understand where you're coming from, but isn't it kind of your job to persuade them then to appreciate the cat?
Absolutely. And I would like to reach out right now. And maybe this is just a little preface to the Liberty Cat Show to come on the network. But, you know, I want to say to all of you who are out there saying cats are evil and cats are unfriendly. No, dear friends, you simply haven't been exposed enough to cats. I challenge you. I make this challenge right now. Go out tomorrow and find a cat. I don't care if it's your neighbor's cat or a stray cat, but pick that cat up and rub that cat's face on your own nose. And before long, you'll be in love and you'll have a cat of your own in no time. I promise.
They're very seductive.
They're seductive?
Yes.
They are. They will seduce you. And I mean, their breath smells a little bit like cat food, yes, but you know, I've dated women like that, too. You just got to roll with the punches.
My breath smells like cat food. So, hey, I'm in good company.
There you go.
That sounds awful. You guys need to look elsewhere for the women you're dating if their breath smells like cat food.
Well, you know, it's hard times, Allison. You know, the tuna's expensive.
It is. You take what you get. That's it.
Well, there
it says tuna-like product.
There are some cat haters, right? But be like John Mayer. Haters only make you stronger, right?
Because that's exactly right. What haters do to me is they empower me, and they make me want to reach out and hug them. Take each and every one of those hater sort of people and say, you know what? You missed out on something in life, hater, and give them a nice warm hug and a squeeze. And then after that, give them a nice dinner, and then present them with a cat in their lap, and they won't hate any longer. They'll be happy, and they'll be pleasurable to be around.
That's a lot to take in all at once.
That's what she said. Yeah.
This, dear Allison, is what we are bringing to the network right here.
Right down. We'll just drag your ratings way down.
Well, that's it. Last week we were talking about how come porn sites haven't adopted Bitcoin at a quicker rate. So
I've wondered that myself. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I only go for the free stuff. If I could pay with Bitcoin, I'd have so many memberships. It's not even funny.
Well, there was an article in Forbes that said CC Bill is the largest, the only company that will like actually process credit card transactions for these porn companies. And I couldn't help but why the hell hasn't the adult industry latched on to Bitcoin quicker? I mean, it seems like that would be perfect for, you know, that kind of stuff. Well,
Brian's kind of our expert resident on porn, so I'm going to pass this to him. But I have to ask, who the hell pays for porn? Do people pay for porn anymore?
Well, as a matter of fact, here in Lupo, I haven't paid for porn in quite some time. I did in the earlier days of the internet. Boy, did I get myself in some credit card troubles
there. Brian, I got hang on to your porno thoughts and your porn history. We're going into a break. You're listening to the Allison Bricker Show here on Daily Paul Radio. We'll be right back. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Allison Bricker Show here on Daily Paul Radio. We're speaking with Taryn Lupo and Brian Hagen, and so far we've been discussing cats and porn. Not necessarily, well, I guess in that order. So let's go back.
Things.
Brian, you were talking about your porn history and how you no longer pay for porn.
Right, because you had mentioned, Allison, about, you know, Bitcoin not being accepted by these major porn companies. And then Taryn asked me who pays for porn. Well, the thing is, you go to a site like XNXX, which is my favorite. Give them a shout out. And you find something really interesting and really unique, something you've never seen before. And when you're a lover of the genre like I am, you learn to explore further and further and further. And then you realize you can only go so far for free. So then eventually you're having to go out, you're having to reach out, and you're having to buy extra in order to get the clips that really speak to you as the connoisseur that you are, as a porn addict.
Okay, so like, you're saying that if you watch enough porn, you get completely desensitized and it has to be just completely bananas to do anything for you.
No,
and the banana stuff you have to pay for.
No, I'm not saying that, Taryn, because you know full well, just a lovely picture of Miss Ashley Tisdale will make me go crazy. So it's not so much about a desensitized thing. It's more like when you're a collector of anything, you want the more, what's the word I'm looking for? The more exotic, and when you want the more exotic and you want longer forms of the exotic, like any great art, you have to pay for it.
But do you guys, do men really need the long form?
I do. Boy, do I ever. Yeah, it depends on what I've got on my schedule for the night. But, you know, sometimes it can be, it can be my entire evening. I look at it instead of going out on a date and having to travel, I just stay in with long form porn and keep myself entertained for hours.
Well, I was going to say, in the article, it said it's a $6 billion industry. So apparently somebody somewhere is still paying for porn.
Do they have high def porn now? Is that the standard or is that scary? Like I haven't watched porn in years. I don't really know.
There are high def ones. I stayed away from them for that very reason. I will say this, when you pay for it, you get a much better quality than what they're giving away free on the streaming sites.
Good to know. Yeah, definitely whoever is not on board with Bitcoin's losing a ton of money.
Right, logical, right? I mean, because Bitcoin is anonymous, well, nearly, and it's almost very low transaction costs.
There's two ways now I see that someone can make a heck of a lot of money. The online poker sites make a lot of money, and they always get shut down in the U.S., so people play them overseas. And what is going on now? Have you heard of the freespeechme.com, where you can basically get a .bit name.
Yes, I had Michael on. Yeah, and he gave us a .bit, which I think what they're doing is just tremendous as well.
Wow. I'm not familiar with this.
If your listeners never heard about it, all right, the high-level domains, the top-level domains at the end, like .net, .org, .biz, there's a new one called .bit, and it uses a technology that's similar to blockchain. So, and it's an add-on to Firefox. You plug this thing in, and it keeps track of these .bit addresses, and all of a sudden, this whole world opens up to you, these .bit websites. The cool thing about them is, since they're Bitcoin style, the government cannot shut them down. Everything else the government can shut down, because some company owns .net, some company owns and runs .biz. So the government can just send a nasty letter saying, we want that domain site, and it's gone. And that's what they did to the poker sites. They just chased them and chased them and chased them, and a poker site would get on for a month, be successful, and the government would come take it. If they get on .bit, they can't do that. And I think it's an exciting thing that's coming, that you're basically getting a government-proof website, which is crazy that whoever figures out how to do that first, that's either a poker or a porn site on a .bit site, is going to make a hell of a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Right, because there you go. There's the next business. Because it's even outside of ICANN. I mean, that's even outside the UN. That's outside of WIPO. That's outside of ICANN fees. .bit is like the whole, it's the liberty movements. Whereas the internet was really libertarian in the beginning. It's it's just become a muddy wash. But now .bit is where like all the liberty folks are going to be going here within the next few years.
I love this idea. That's very exciting. Go ahead, Taryn. What I was going to say is I think it's very exciting.
No, I was going to say, I think so. It's,
all right, well, one of you pick and decide to go.
I think Taryn got cut off there for a second. I don't know what happened there.
Oh,
here, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to jump in and say this. I remember when we first started on the internet, way back when, I thought this is wonderful. It's truly anonymous, and it's a great place to be. But now, not so much. I mean, it's like we have babysitters over our shoulder at all times online.
Taryn, are you still with us, or are you having connection issues in the low country?
Yeah. I think me and Brian both had issues at the same time. He went out and I went out, but I think we're both here now. Yeah, something's going to happen, because all other countries, the internet is getting more and more restrictive. And every year Congress tries to restrict something and get their foot in the door. And there's only so long you can hold them off. You know, when the communication companies are all owned by the government's good graces, that, you know, they'll do whatever they tell them. The only way around that is to go anonymous, and I'm hoping that these .bit sites, people don't realize how important they are right now, and they're going to learn as soon as we become like Australia, where, you know, your favorite sites are censored.
Right, or like China, or just yesterday, the Washington Post, I believe it was, or maybe it was the Times, they're reporting that the DHS has already had a plan for the internet kill switch and have the logistics and all the infrastructure ready. But they have refused to announce exactly why they want to do it. And so a judge yesterday ruled that, no, you actually have to tell the people why you want to. Of course, all we're going to hear is national security, but it is important, I think, to have some sort of backup in order, you know, if you're running an e-commerce, even if it's not porn or gambling, if that's your lifeblood and the internet goes down for United States citizens, then at least you've got something that can still be globally accessible.
Right.
Yeah, and that's extremely frightening. I hadn't heard that news about the kill switch yet, and I know it's been a rumored idea for quite some time. And you're right. You leave all the joking aside on, you know, porn or going to the cat sites. We rely on this day in, day out for our livelihood. We the people do. We rely on it for our communications with our family, with our friends. And if they suddenly shut us down, we're going to be completely isolated. And I think you're right, Allison. That is a great reason to move up this next step and keep them from isolating us, which will be exactly what their idea is behind something like that.
Absolutely it is. And isn't it interesting that even though CISPA, PIPA, and whatever the other ones have failed, They've already developed the what they need from infrastructure, current existing infrastructure, and they have the plan ready to greenlight. Sounds very eerily similar to the way the Patriot Act was written years before 9/11. And you're exactly right. The toothpaste is out of the tube. The internet is really the Gutenberg press of the 21st century, and they don't know how to handle us now because there are so many ways to go around the system. The only way that they could succeed would be to cut us off.
The way the internet's designed, it's really too hard for them to completely shut it off. There's just too many workarounds. But what they can do is control the entry points. Like, there's only a couple major companies like Comcast and Cox and where you can get an ISP and get onto the internet. So they control those choke points and make those companies do whatever they want. The fastest way to do that is to just simply take domain names. And that'll be the first step where you just go to the site you want and you'll see that lovely little picture that says, you know, this is now government property, and they got the little pictures all over it. And .bit gets around that. And I think when people start getting taste of that, that there'll be a mass flood, just like there was with Bitcoin. It'll take the same route.
Brian, we got about 30 seconds before we head into the bottom of the hour news.
Well, I just think that's so incredibly exciting, and I'm so happy to learn about something of this nature coming out there, because it really is a concern for me each and every day. And you had mentioned CISPA and PIPA and Pippi Longstockings and all those other ones that they had dragged out before. I don't think any of those ever actually meant anything. I think they were all just a big dog and pony show. And I think that regardless of the failures of the legislation, yes, there's always been some backdoor technique they've been working on. And it sounds like they're getting ready to unveil that, or at least unroll it. And so I think now is the time that we isolate from the net as we know it and become independent online.
Absolutely. I'm speaking with Taryn Lupo and Brian Hagan. This is the Allison Bricker Show on Daily Paul Radio. We'll be back after the news. And welcome back. See, that did work. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Allison Bricker Show here on Daily Paul Radio. I do want to remind you, before we get back with my guests, Taryn Lupo and Brian Hagan, Dr. Ron Paul was on this morning at 11:15. The interview is indeed up. You can go listen to it, download it, embed it wherever you want to. Simply head over to DailyPaulRadio.com. And unless the site is overloaded at the moment, you will be able to access the post. It's right there below the slider. Click on it. You can download, share it, embed it, put it on your MP3 player. You can do whatever you want with it. Share it. It was an excellent interview. I personally could probably listen to Dr. Paul speak all day. So go over there and download it.
He was talking about the new bill, HBCAT, where it's going to be mandatory to own a cat with your health insurance.
And
that was his whole topic today.
You guys are back in, Taryn and Brian. So
HBCAT.
Gentlemen, I have a question from the chat room.
Okay.
Nin Computer wants to know about where is .bit hosted? Is it in the blockchain? Is it a distributed system? Do you know, Taryn?
I can kind of fumble this a little bit, but I'm pretty close on how it works. It is actually a plugin on Firefox where you get it, and it works just like the blockchain. When you first download it, it's like a 5-hour download for it to get up to speed. Just like if you were to download blockchain, it has to go back and get all the millions of transactions. So what it does is, instead of numbers, as far as I understand it, is it actually you're using the same kind of technology for names of websites. And then what happens is it's spread across and file shared. So there's no way for the government to come to one person
that,
and knock
that
out.
That sounds like a Ponzi scheme.
Well, there's no money in it, really, I don't think.
I want to bang my head on the table every time I hear someone mention Bitcoin and Ponzi scheme. So I had to throw that in.
Yeah, all the time.
Although you do have to get something called Namecoin in order to buy it, but it's literally pennies. Like, a website costs pennies instead of $10 a year.
Right, so, and you're not paying the ICANN fees.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah, that's right. You're buying a name coin, which you could actually make money on. Who knows, you know? Who knows? The Dogecoin made a bunch of money. Do you remember when that happened?
Yeah, but it's down to like nothing again, isn't it?
No, yeah. They only made money for a couple minutes, but it was fun. It was a fun ride. Hey, we're supposed to talk about gay Arizona, too, I think.
We are supposed to talk about gay Arizona.
I guess they have good nightclubs. What do you mean?
Well, you know, now the NFL is threatening to withhold the Super Bowl because now, are you familiar with the legislation for the audience? There's legislation pending in Arizona in case you haven't, you don't have a gay person that lives near you and is screaming about the end of the world. There's legislation in Arizona that would allow an individual, not just a business owner. So if you go to a restaurant and the waiter doesn't like you because you're gay, this person could not serve you. And so the end of the world has begun. Not only is Don't Ask, Don't Tell, apparently we're not sending enough gays to die fast enough in the U.S. Imperial Army. So they're whining and moaning about that. But also, they're saying this could be the end of the world in Arizona. But ironically, I do want to say before I let you guys talk about it, they just I can't help but just completely laugh that they have found the solution by embracing the essence of the legislation, right? The newest thing that I've seen going around from like Balerico and some of the LGBT sites are we refuse the right to serve Arizona legislators. And I just can't. I wish they would grasp the irony of their campaign to try to use the violent thugs of government to force a business to patronize someone.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. We bring this up, Allison. I had said to you even before the show, we have something very similar going on. I'm in Kansas, Kansas born and bred. So God bless me on whatever that means under the tyranny of the Christian right and all of Sam Brownback's regime. But anyway, we're calling it the Religious Freedom Bill. And it's very similar. In fact, I think Chris Kobach, who is our Secretary of State, drafted the legislation for both Kansas and Arizona. So they're very similar, if not mirror images of one another. And it just cracks me up that here we're calling it the Religious Freedom Bill. And it would allow not only, you mentioned the waiter refusing someone, it would allow a government employee to refuse service to someone. Basically, what it is it's separate but equal all over again.
Oh, that's an interesting. Now, see, I had no idea of that particular provision, really.
Oh, yeah.
So, because to me, there's always a difference between when they say Rand Paul supports Jim Crow laws. No, he doesn't. I'm fine if I'm a smoker and I want to smoke in my house, then I have the right. And it's the same as my business. It comes down to a property rights issue for me. But it's different when the government says, no, we're going to have a white-only swimming pool and a black-only outhouse. You know, that is becoming separate and equal. And to me, that crosses the line. If a business owner like the bakery in Denver doesn't want to sell a cake to a gay couple, there's 247 other bakeries in Denver alone. Go find a bakery that actually wants to make you a cake, because would you really trust the person that hates your guts in the first place and is calling you an abomination to make you a confection? But the
eating that cake.
Right. I'm not having any of that cake. But now the government provision is kind of ridiculous. And I agree that someone had just told me that the individual, like if I own a business and I want gay customers, because I don't care what you do wherever, just as long as you're not doing it in my store, go ahead and purchase stuff from me. I don't like the notion that the individual employee could then override the property owner, which is where I have a separation. To me, it's property rights.
I agree with that completely. And you're right. It does take a whole other jump the way we're doing it here and allowing a government employee to do the exact same. It cracks me up in a really twisted sort of way that we're calling it religious freedom. I mean, there are what, over 40,000 recognized religions in the United States. So you know full well this has nothing to do with religious freedom. It has to do with Christian religion. It's also frightening as hell to me because here in Kansas, where this same legislation is taking effect or trying to take effect, it was supposed to be dead. Now the Senate's taking it up, so it looks like it's going to get more forward movement. But what frightens me is even the most moderates are grasping onto this thing and moving it forward. So I don't know what to think about it. It's very frightening. I know one legislator personally very well. He's a very liberal guy, and he's trying to thrust this thing forward. It's scary to me.
I got to tell you, I don't understand the notion. You know who always complains about brown, scary, bearded Muslims? Christians. And it's always like these pseudo-phony Christian warriors, soldiers for Christ, who want to use government to then open it up to be religious. And if you do that now, let's say, okay, you're the much ballyhooed influx of Muslims that have destroyed England to come to destroy America, you've basically laid a foundation for Sharia law to take right over, right? I mean, do they ever comprehend that what they're supposedly railing against out of the right side of their mouth, they're then allowing by passing this kind of idiotic Patriot Act sounding legislation?
I've said that time and time again ever since these pieces of legislation have come forward. It's basically Sharia law that they keep screaming about being so frightening, only from the Christian perspective. They would love to be the Christian Taliban, so many of these legislators, especially here in Kansas. I mean, I don't know how much you know about what's going on here.
Weren't you guys the state that had the bill a couple years ago that was going to use drones to kill illegal immigrants or some craziness? Kansas?
There wasn't actually a bill. It was a legislator down in western Kansas, and they're all nuts down there. It was a legislator who said, maybe we ought to just go ahead and use some drones to kill immigrants like we go out and shoot the feral pigs. That's a paraphrase of what he said.
Man, government is compassionate.
Oh, boy, are they ever. Man, I want them taking care of me at night. Evil jackholes.
Well, at least I know two people in Kansas now, you and Dr. Woods, that, you know, you guys are better ambassadors than certainly Sam Brownback. Anybody remember that guy from the 07 primaries? He was a hoot nanny.
Good Lord. And it's funny you mentioned Dr. Woods. He's only about 45 minutes away from me.
Excellent. Well, Kansas isn't all
bad. I have
to tell
you the story.
Go ahead, Taryn.
Oh, no. Oh, first of all, I love the gay people. Thanks for letting me play.
But that's not what you said on Facebook. You said you couldn't wait to get behind and start reading from Leviticus.
It's true.
If Karen brings up Leviticus one more time, I'm going to puke.
Yeah, everybody knows that. That's right. I follow that very strictly. What are the other stuff in Leviticus that...
The stoning your children is my favorite. Yeah, or maybe that's Deuteronomy. I can't keep their evil book of, like, spiteful God. I can't keep it all straight.
Well, and don't forget the great passage that says you can go into your neighbor's cornfield and eat all day, but if you take any of the corn with you, then you've sinned.
Exactly. What about the part where you're supposed to invade at like a non-believer's village, kill all the children, save the young girls and the virgins, and then make them your mistresses? That's some good morality there.
Oh, yeah, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And I am a Christian. I'll be the first to tell you that, or a Jesusist or an anarcho-Christian or whatever you call it. And I'm always saying, leave this ridiculous doctrine behind, man. This stuff isn't even compatible with the teachings of Christ. This is just nonsense of a warring people who wanted to force-feed their message on everyone else, and it does not work with the words of a loving Jesus.
Absolutely. I'm totally down with the Jesus, man. I think he's the antithesis almost of Yahweh and the Old Testament. I mean, the stuff that I've read out of the Old Testament is really, really seriously, all kidding aside, rather frightening that that would be part of a religion.
Oh, it really is. I mean, you've got some cool stuff like the Book of Ecclesiastes is one of my all-time favorite reads. You got the Song of Solomon, Song of Songs, Psalms, that sort of stuff. That's kind of neat in and of its own right, just as works of literature. But all of the legal passages in the Old Testament, that all was supposed to end with the coming of Christ. And for some reason, these so-called Christians grasp onto that and make that Christianity, which it is not.
Right on. And I think we stepped all over Taryn.
That's okay. I like the gay people.
I was giving you some time to recover from your wanting to like start posting Leviticus and Deuteronomy. So go ahead, Taryn. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Tell us about gay Arizona.
What Taryn really likes though are the works of St. Paul where the man is the master over the woman. Those are his favorites. Go ahead, Taryn.
Yeah. Actually, I do find and I have to ask you this, Allison, because parts of the Bible seem incredibly offensive to women. And I don't understand how so many women sign up for that, where I know if I were a woman, I'd be really offended. I'd be like,
well,
man.
I've never, ever, ever belonged to a religion. I mean, it like says Methodist on my birth certificate, but but I'm the closest thing I have is I like Jesus. I call myself a deist. I believe in crevolution. I think maybe there could be something out there somewhere that could exist. And but I also have a really awesome theory, at least I think in my head, when I'm stoned, that I came up with about two black holes in the Big Bang. So I'll tell you that some other time. But
nice.
That sounds like Brian's Friday night. But the ta-ching. Where'd you get a rim shot there? All right, never mind.
I don't have that sound effect. Sorry.
And I said rim shot.
Yeah, oh, I caught it. I caught it, Taryn Lupo.
Welcome to the Allison Bricker Show. We are in the Jerry Springer gutter for the second week in a row.
Just
this
drag
is
that right down here.
When we go into people's shows, man, we tread all over it. We leave a mess on the floor to clean up later. It's awful.
I don't want that job, and it better pay more than minimum wage.
Oh, but minimum wage is going to be awesome soon. It's going to be like $50. You know, what are they proposing now? Minimum wage is going to rock soon. Of course, it'll take about a month before every business is put out. But that month's going to be great.
Well, I'm convinced these people behind the minimum wage increase are all secret Peter Joseph zeitgeist murder or zeitgeist worshippers. Because you want to talk about automating people out of a profession. Have you been to a grocery store lately? How many grocery stores still have carryout baggers? Almost none of them. And you have these stupid U scans, and hey, you get to do the work for yourself. And we've raised the price of absolutely every food item in the store.
You're exactly right. The grocery store in the town where I'm currently at, we actually have a grocery bagger. And the guy actually carries it out to my car. And I think about that. I think, you know, this guy is doing such a great service. He takes pride in what he's doing. And you can tell he enjoys what he's doing. And it's like, even if he wants to be doing what he's doing, if they go increasing the minimum wage, he's going to be out of a job whether he likes it or not. And it's just sad and maddening to me.
Absolutely. Before I moved after the death threats the last time, we had a grocery store.
Go back to that.
Well, that was when I'll tell you that in a minute. But before I left that was why I quit riding at Smargus. I got cold feet. But before I moved, we had a grocery chain. It was a local chain, and they had the greatest carryouts ever. And now where I live, it's only big box stores. We have Meijer, and we have some Kroger's, and the Kroger purchased everything else, and there's no such thing as carryouts. And now it's either you scan or at least if you want to use one of the baggers in Meijer, they'll just throw all of your stuff because they don't seem to make the transition from these aren't like clothes items to food items really well, like on this conveyor belt. So it's really bad service. And the girl's got a neck tattoo that's all over her, halfway up her face. And you're like, where the hell are standards? Can I fire someone for having a neck tattoo as my grocery clerk? I mean, come on.
Well, you know, you need someone to mix your underwear with your ice cream and drop some cigarette ash.
And then throw the carton of eggs into the same bag.
Yeah, I mean, you need to spice up your panties.
We definitely need to, who doesn't need the protein? But we definitely need to raise her Miss Neck Tattoo. She needs to be getting paid $15.50 an hour, obviously.
This whole discussion goes back to the beginning of the show. I'm thinking of the wet and messy fetish. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but it's a real fetish. And that's what I'm sitting here concentrating on all these things, wet and messy in the bag. And yes, I would pay money for that.
Bitcoin? Would you pay Bitcoin?
I would pay Bitcoin. Yes, well, my friend, I would.
And we've come full circle. There we go.
It is a wet and messy show this evening on the Allison Bricker Show. I'm very sorry. Hey, we're going to a break, so that worked out. Stay tuned. We'll be back with these two, Taryn Lupo and Brian Hagan, after this commercial timeout here on the Allison Bricker Show, heard on Dealey Pole Radio. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Allison Bricker Show here on Dealey Pole Radio. This is the incredibly stupid short segment. We have like 2 minutes before we go back to the top of the hour. Are you guys going to hang on? Are we going to go into 8 o'clock, or you guys got to go, or what's up?
No, I'm more than willing to hang on if Taryn is.
We still have to cover Ouija boards. We teased that. So.
Well, we teased Ouija boards, and we also I want to know about your book about how to basically circumvent. How? No, you don't want to talk about the book?
No, I'm just teasing. But cats are much more interesting than my books.
Well,
I'm a terrible marketer, right? It's like, yeah, let's talk about your books. Nah, no. Let's talk about guests.
Right, because how many books have you written?
I've got 20 if you count short stories. So I think I'm around there. I'm putting out another two hopefully soon.
Excellent. Are these prolific. Fiction or prolific? Are these fiction or are these going to be cat books? Or are you going to try to make a public policy stance on why we need the cat legislation? Or
pretty much. They're just pictures of Allison with cats. We photoshopped a bunch together, and I put those out as books. So this is going to be a Halloween edition where you dress up with different cats and outfits.
For 365 days a year.
That's right. A whole calendar.
Forget the whole cop block controversy. We'll just do a cat with me sneezing and red-eyed for 365 days. That should sell very, very well.
It will be hot. Everybody's talking about it.
It's all the buzz on Twitter. It's a trending topic. Allison cat calendar.
Allison weepy eyes, it's called. Just meow. Twitter that.
That's a hell of a hashtag. And speaking of Twitter, since we've only got a little time, did you see that Republican Texas State Senator Dan Patrick accidentally tweeted, marriage equals one man and one man? Enough of these activist judges.
Thank you, autocorrect.
Yes, yes. Apparently, Gawker and Talking Points Memo were able to get a screen cap because within 7 minutes, he realized his error. Perhaps a feminist group called in and said, Bob, not only are you homophobic, you're misogynist. You know?
That's such a great, man, autocorrect is my nemesis. I put out all kinds of dirty stuff by accident. I mean, I can't even tell you.
Well, they have an aisle for that in the grocery store. Taryn, we're going to the top of the hour news. You're listening to the Allison Bricker with Taryn Lupo and Brian Hagan, and we will be back after the top of the hour news.
You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
She's got moxie, and she knows how to use it. Your late night highly caffeinated host, the one and only smoking artist, Allison Bricker.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour two of the Allison Bricker Show here on Daily Poll Radio. We are now moving into uncharted territory. I've never had guests stay on this long in my entire radio broadcasting career of 6 months. But Taryn Lupo and Brian Hagan have agreed to stay on together. It's been a lot of fun thus far. So what are we going to talk about now? Oh, we were going to talk about your books. No, we talked about books and my sneezy calendar. And then we were going to move on to Ouija boards.
Your sneezy calendar.
Not
yeah,
sleazy.
We can talk about
we're
that.
Not going to do a sleazy calendar. Sneezy. Sneezy.
Sneezy. But you need the kind of controversy because that's what people want these days, apparently.
All
I've
right,
never seen so many posts about that damn Liberty calendar. I was like, really?
I was going to ask you guys. You got, you know, the only thing that this feud and the feud before with Cantwell and Antonio Bueller, it just makes me not want to conduct business with any of the parties involved because it really reminds me of my time in elementary school.
Isn't it childish? Just this back and forth and trying to embarrass each other and calling each other names. And you know, I know players on both sides of the issue, and it really kind of disappoints me because I like these people, but it's just like, please stop. You've done all you can. Just no more.
Well, I have to tell you, I knew most of them. I didn't know this Tony Bones person, but what she did this morning with posting, you know, Lauren's phone number all over the internet, that's, you know, I don't even know who she is. I had never even heard her name. I've been in the Liberty Movement. She probably never heard my name either, but... And since 07, I've been, you know, posting places and rattling my mouth, but I never even had heard about her. And for that to be really my first interaction with her, this whole whiz-a-bob thing, boy, that's pretty low. I mean, that's – why can't they find, like, an independent arbiter online or something, and can we just have this sorted out and act like adults?
Well, I can't believe it's news, frankly. I mean, we're talking about it.
I know, but it's all that's on my damn Facebook feed. There's thousands of comments to every one of these threads. I'm like, I need to do this then, apparently.
In a general thing, for your listeners that don't have a clue what we're talking about, it comes down to this, where have you ever had two of your friends fight on your own Facebook thread? Like, I'm friends with a bunch of trolls, so they'll come in and troll some poor person that's, like, from my elementary school, you know, my elementary school teacher that doesn't know anything, and they'll just troll her to death on this, and they leave so angry. And I like both parties involved, but I don't know what to do, because you can't isolate one, and when you can slap their wrist and say, stop trolling, but they don't stop. And it's the same sort of thing. I'm watching these people that I like every person involved in this party. What happened, for your listeners that don't know, is there was a calendar that came out.
Well, is it out
a bunch
now
of drama happened.
Is it out or is
oh, no,
it not
sorry.
Out?
No, it never came out. They did a fundraiser, raised the money. It didn't come out because people started complaining about their pictures or something. And then it just got ugly and turned to Dramaville. And I like everybody involved, so I've just kind of stayed quiet and watched.
This morning on Facebook, when I opened it, and literally the first 15 stories coming down my feed were all about this. I was like, I have to at least say something. And then I saw that woman had posted the phone number of the other girl. Yeah. And this girl, granted, I don't know whether she's a thief or whatever. I think it mostly comes down to people, maybe they didn't hire a really great photographer or graphic designer, because it seems to be that was the gist of the initial complaints, were that it was really laid out poorly or whatever. But this girl's grandfather is sick, the one that's being accused of being, you know, a thief. And here, that is an appeal to pity. But she's dealing with some stuff. We all are fighting battles. And to stoop and to start posting her, you know, phone number everywhere. The girl was obviously having a hard time this morning. She was freaking out that her phone wouldn't stop ringing. We're supposed to be the Liberty Movement. And this really, you know, it doesn't look very good. And then I can't help but think of the story that came out yesterday with, you know, the British spy agency basically talking about how they've been, along with the CIA and the FBI, infiltrating social media. And I want to chalk it up to maybe these are people that work for the state, because this is outrageously insane.
No, what you have here is you have some very angry people, some very angry women who want the money back, and I understand their plight, but at the same time, Facebook is not the way to do this, ladies. Like
exactly.
You said, Alice, like you said, get an arbiter, get together, get a conference call going, get something else, but not Facebook, because regardless of what you're trying to accomplish, it just comes off in the perception, if nothing else, as being childish. And you're bullying someone. That's how it looks to me, and I know the whole story.
Yeah, I agree. It does look like it looks very childish, and really, I mean, come on. We're supposed to be able to resolve conflict without the state and as adults. So here's an opportunity to do that. So can we please put our plans into action and see this, you know, resolve without this back and forth of name calling and giving out people's addresses and phone numbers?
And it's funny, because the players in this game that I know are the ones who are the guilty party of doing exactly what you're saying. And I don't know. I thought about approaching them. But then again, it's not. I know that I'll be met with resistance, and I know that my words are just going to fall on deaf ears.
Well, it's funny. I was going to send her a friend request this morning and ask her politely, like, can we please maybe don't post her phone number? That's, you know, not cool. I mean, I hope you get your money back. If she stole it, then it should be found out, and we should all know that we shouldn't work with her. But that hasn't been proven yet. And if she gives you your money back, wouldn't that be better? But I thought the same thing. Like, she doesn't know who I am, so I'm just going to post a general status. And please, can we just stop with this?
I just think a phone number is really crossing the line. Post their Twitter, post their email, post their Skype, anything like that. But the phone number, to me, that's sacred, and that just takes it over the line too much and becomes a form of harassment. I mean, true harassment.
Right, and she's the only one I see doing this. I don't see any of the other girls who were also dissatisfied with their photos doing this kind. They're all remaining fairly quiet. She's the only one really out there And it just makes that whole side, like you said, look childish.
Yeah, and it's just, it's too bad. I hope they come to a resolution, and I hope in the meantime of them reaching that resolution, they take it off of Facebook.
That would be fantastic. If we, you know, I'd be happy with a YouTube synopsis at the end once it's all resolved.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I tried to read through, I think it was Peace News Now that had posted, like, the entire body of evidence. And, I've never scrolled so long in my life reading a post. And there's a lot to take in there. But, right, that's, you know, just let's take it off of Facebook. Let's not present such a childish, forward-facing front on something that's obviously fallen apart. And let this be a lesson to you. This is why there are contracts.
Right, exactly. Something should have been done in writing up front when they entered into this agreement on the calendar. I agree completely.
Right, and model releases, like, too bad if you don't like your picture once you sign the release. Or if you had a problem with that, then push back. That's what a contract negotiation is for.
Yes. Yeah, I think the whole thing's very sad. And really, at this point, if you don't have a contract in place, you're pretty much SOL anyway. Give it up, move on, and find a new battle more positive to fight.
Right on. Taryn?
Taryn, are you playing with your cats again?
Taryn has left the conversation, ladies and gentlemen.
Where did Taryn Lupo go? This is what he does, Allison.
He's posting my phone number now everywhere.
See, this is what he does. You just can't trust him.
He just left the conversation. I still see the picture of him with his cat, but I don't hear Taryn Lupo. Maybe he went to the restroom while we were talking.
He may have. I think he tried to say something, then I think he just kind of gave up on us. And he gets real distracted. Here's the thing about Taryn that a lot of people don't know. He gets really distracted. He'll be sitting there and, you know, he's like, oh, I'm on a radio show. And then one of his cats wanders into the room and he's like, oh kitty, God, come here, kitty. And then he forgets her. Oh, he's back again.
Hey, Taryn's back with us. Where did you go, Taryn?
I hit the mute button. I've been talking the whole time, but my chin hit the mute button. I was like, why are they ignoring me, man? We need like a speaking stick or something. I kind of reminds me of have you ever had a Facebook post and then all these people chime in and it gets so long where you're like, I'm not reading my own post anymore.
Yes, I've only had a few of them, but yeah, sometimes I'm like, shut up, both of you, God.
You're talking about the Peace News Network where you just had to scroll and scroll. And all I can think about is the Facebook post where people start arguing and, you know, there'll be 200 comments. And I gave up around 30. You know, I stopped looking after that. And it's your own page. I would imagine it's similar. But I always think calendars are such a bad idea. I don't know, you know, back in the day when people used calendars, maybe. But you're talking about an investment that loses money every month. Like,
it's
you
almost
have to,
like a car.
You're putting a fundraiser out that you are against a clock and you have to get rid of these things before the year's over.
Well, Taryn, we're up against the clock. Taryn, we're up against the clock for another commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking with Taryn Lupo and Brian Hagan. You're listening to the Allison Bricker Show here on Daily Paul Radio. We'll be back after this commercial timeout. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for sticking around. You're listening to the Allison Bricker Show here on Daily Paul Radio. I am speaking with Taryn Lupo and Brian Hagan. It's been a really enjoyable conversation up to this point. So, gentlemen, thanks for staying on for so long. And, Brian, you said you had some breaking news.
I do, Allison. Right as we went to the break, I started perusing my Facebook page since I'm addicted. And I want to give mad props to Chris Bennett for posting a link. We had talked earlier about the Arizona bill and the Kansas bill in regards to religious freedom, which are actually anti-gay bills, any way you cut it. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer vetoes SB 1062. This coming down just moments ago from CNN, Arizona Governor Jan Brewer says today she has vetoed a bill that would have allowed businesses that asserted their religious beliefs the right to deny service to gay and lesbian customers. So that bill in Arizona is now dead because of the governor's veto.
Well, how much do you think the whole threat of a loss of a Super Bowl factor? Because apparently they lost the Super Bowl previously because they didn't accept Martin Luther King for the holiday.
Yes, that is true. I remember that. I guarantee you, when you've got that kind of financial loss beating up on your door, that is going to play some role. I don't think that the veto was altruistic. I think it does have to do with that outside force that was used for her to veto it. But regardless, the bill is now dead.
All right. So for us laymen who don't pay attention to bills, this bill was basically saying that the way this is coming down is now people have to take you no matter what your sexual affiliation.
That's an interesting question, because somebody had said yesterday during a discussion, and I'm echoing in your somewhere. Where the hell am I echoing from? Let's stop that. Where's my audio engineer? Oh, so somebody had said that. What did they say? They said that even before the passage of this bill, that businesses in Arizona actually can refuse service, and they didn't even need this legislation. In fact, it only made the situation worse because it gave it not to the private property owner, but to the employee itself.
Yeah, and I come down, you know, I've owned a lot of businesses, and I come down to the business owner. I can't imagine putting all this investment and time in running a business and being told who I can and can't and have to serve and who I don't.
I can't imagine wanting to patronize a business that hates you.
I don't get that either. And to me, I understand that you don't want to be discriminated against, but I don't have a problem with discrimination, honestly, as far as I think it's stupid business and bad and a dumb investment. But if you want to have, you know, the Ku Klux Klan deli, you should be able to. It's your business. It's your investment. And so be it. And I honestly think you should be able to discriminate for anything you want in any kind of group you want. You know, that's part of freedom, man. Don't tell me who I have to associate with.
Right. Isn't free association a natural right? You get to hang around who you want to hang around. Like, do I have to accept the people that I have no friends in common with that have no profile picture on Facebook? Do I have to accept them as friends?
You have to.
Or am I discriminating against, you know, somebody from the Philippines who wants to tell me I want $1 million?
And you have. You totally have.
I have 10 times.
That dude really is a prince.
Lucky woman.
You can trust Facebook.
Yeah, that Nigerian guy. He's my buddy. I mean, it was sad. His mom and dad were both killed in the revolution, and now he's got $14 million, and all I have to do is give him my Social Security number. Why not?
Right. Yeah, just send him some checks.
Oh, man, I just had a great idea. Let's crash the Social Security system. We should advocate people giving these Social Security numbers away to Nigerian princes.
Oh, man.
You guys are a corrupting influence.
Good. Very good. Very good. The plan is working.
Evil laugh. Ooh, I practice it harder. Allison, let's make a deep laugh.
I can't do a boo-ha.
Because
I'm laughing at the moment.
Yes, Social Security.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, we have now surpassed the actual listenership that we had on during Dr. Paul.
Brian actually wears a monocle and a top hat while he's on air, so he can do that laugh.
Yeah.
And then he rubs his hands together.
My hands are being rubbed together right now. I am so happy to hear that listener number has gone up to such an extreme. Yes.
He also wears the same outfit when he looks at his porn.
As a matter of fact, the difference is I don't wear the nice pants.
But you do wear the tails, at
least. Oh, absolutely I do. Sure.
All right. Yeah. I mean, you really, it's a capital idea, Brian. Capital.
Yes. Yes.
I do want to get rich enough that I can have a monocle, at least.
That is our dream, Allison. You may not know this about us, but Karen and I both want to have monocles and top hats someday while we carry our kitties.
With a cat. That's right. I think we lost Allison. She's no longer on the show.
No, I'm still here. I'm
take it from here. No, just go. We got it.
What the hell? My show has been co-opted by a bunch of cats. Well, I have to ask a question then. Is somebody going to wear a left monocle and then someone will wear a right monocle?
Yes. Ooh.
And will you ever walk on the wrong side of each other then?
Darren or I, one of us will have our cane in our left hand, one will have it in the right hand, and we will walk step in step. It's going to be a beautiful sight.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to basically roll with the Mr. Peanut outfit is what I'm going for.
Me too.
And when I get that rich, and I'm already enough, it's going to be such a freedom. Like when you get that rich that you can just do whatever you want and people are like, oh, he's eccentric. No one calls you crazy if you're rich. But
exactly.
If I do it now, yeah, I'm that guy. That's crazy.
You're the guy that's getting tased by 22 cops. You know?
Unless you're at Porkfest. Apparently, Porkfest, you can dress any way you want, top hat included. There's a guy that walks around, Top Hat Tony.
Tony Rosado, yeah.
He wears his top hat everywhere he goes. And that's completely allowed there. You can style anything you want. So, yeah, there you go. Come to Porkfest.
Well, you know, I want to give a shout out to Porkfest because isn't there like 2 days left ahead of time to get your early bird special tickets or whatever?
I finally bought my ticket yesterday because it's cheaper. What?
I better get that done. I didn't know I was running out of time.
I thought I saw a post yesterday that said there were 3 days left to still purchase. So I would assume then 2 days today.
Yeah, I think it's 45 bucks.
My sights. How
45
much?
Bucks will get you, 45 get you in. And let me tell you, I go to Liberty events all over the country, and I've been going for years to stuff, and there's nothing else that's $45. Everything's like $300, $250. And especially the big stuff you go to is over $400. So this is a week long for 45 bucks. You're crazy not to go. And for your listeners who have never been to Porkfest, it is so different than any other convention. It is a campground. It's a big party, basically, with a lot of events going on. It reminds me of a cruise line where you get a schedule and there's four different things going on at the same time, and you have to go through the schedule and pick what's the coolest thing you want to go to. And there's too much to do.
Yeah.
And you can do it on the cheap, too, man. You can go there and camp, or you can get a hotel. And you can even, if you're really broke, you can go and sell stuff. There's lots of people that set up restaurants at their campsites, and they sell food or whatever. I've sold books. And
what's it called? What's it called, Taryn? Agora Valley.
Agora Valley. Agora Alley. Agora Alley. There you go. Porkfest is freaking awesome. You need to sell your child and come.
Don't make the mistake that I made, though, because... Well, me being the money-saving sort of guy I am, I bought myself a tent from Walmart that was supposed to fit two. Oh, no. It could barely hold this one hefty guy. So what I did, like Taryn, you said about all the things on the calendar and the schedule, I'd end up drinking way too much the night before and wake up at like 10 o'clock, like in my own pool of sweat in this little tiny tent and miss out on everything.
Oh, wait. Let me tell you about Brian Hagan and Porkfest, right? All right, so there's these speakers that they fly in from all over the world, and these guys are, I mean, these awesome events. You're sitting there, and you're in a tent, and you're drinking with, like, Liberty superstars. And I'm wandering around. I'm like, where's Brian? Brian parks himself on, like, at the campsite. And there's people that don't go to anything. All they do is sit at the campsite and drink and get high or do whatever they're going to do or cook. And they just camp. They ignore all the events and they just have a fun time. Well, I'm looking for Brian, and all he's doing is sitting in this chair with a bottle of whiskey, his sunglasses on. You can't tell if he's awake or asleep. He's somehow holding a bottle in his sleep. I don't know how he does this. And you go up to him every couple, you know, every time you walk by, and you're like, "Hey, Brian." And he just kind of nods, and he's just drinking. And when he runs out of booze, he doesn't get up. Instead, he calls over like one of the kids next door, the pink hair Tracy's kids, Madison.
Yeah. Taryn, hang on there. We have some news from Ben Swan. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Allison Bricker Show here on Dealey Paul Radio. Yeah, that bumper brought to you by Sloppy Seconds. I don't want to be a homosexual. I believe that was using a John Waters film intro there, but I don't, that one's good. And if you've ever heard the screeching weasel counter to "I don't want to be a homosexual," appropriately titled "I want to be a homosexual," If you haven't heard it, please Google it. Find the limited edition vinyl version that's up on YouTube. And you'll see why that song was listed for two consecutive years as the number one song, according to the moral majority, that was going to bring an end to America. This was back in 1998. Like most of their predictions about the homosexual agenda, that one also proved to be wrong. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking with Taryn Lupo and Brian Hagan. They have graciously given their company to the show this evening for an hour and a half at this point, guys.
Yeah, hour and a half is nothing to me, Allison, because I'm nothing but a blabbermouth. So sitting here along with you, who is such a gracious and good host.
Aw, thanks.
And you're very welcome. And right along with the old lout, Taryn Lupo, it's a good way to spend an evening. Taryn, you were going to say something before I cut all over you.
We were talking off air, though, about that. Brian's actually in real radio, and he started back before there were these things called computers.
Yeah.
He was telling me about how you had to run across a studio and change reels from reel to reel while, like, on air. And if you wanted to do a sound effect, you'd had these cassettes you'd stick in.
Oh, yeah.
And he was telling all these stories. And I was like, hasn't it got to a point where a radio show is just on some dude's laptop now that's just streaming it and playing and they fired their entire staff?
It's not like that, is it, Allison?
Well, no, it's not. It's in fact, I've been dealing. In fact, one of the technological problems that I've been running into has been dealing with Robin Kerner, who writes for the Huffington Post. He's got a show on here, and we've been trying to merely figure out why he went out and got some of the equipment. His laptop it's not recording the stereo mix in Audacity, and it's really become quite frustrating at this point. So it's much better than it was in 07 and 08, I can tell you that much. The software that we use now was really buggy in 2007 and 08, and the newest version, 2014 or 2013.6, is an excellent version. And so it's come a long way, but still, yeah, it's not quite as easy as that.
Tell them to use a special effect called left fill, and it makes it sound like stereo. I used to do audiobooks on Audacity, and you can cheat it.
Well, we just can't. It'll either record the problem we've been having is it'll either record him or it'll record whoever calls into Skype. Audacity, we can't figure out how to make it record both of them, even though the stereo mix is selected, and it's just been ungodly frustrating.
I know those frustrations. I know those feelings, and it just feels like you feel so helpless when you're doing it too, because unless you've got an engineer with you full time, you just can't, even they sometimes fail in figuring that stuff out, you know?
Yeah, Brian refuses to move on. He's still using an old Walkman from the 80s. Yep. You've seen those things with the big buttons and they click, and a Mr. Microphone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my Mr.
Microphone.
I'm not giving Mr. Microphone up. I mean, this entire broadcast right now is being done with me in one part of my studio bouncing to an FM channel back into this newfangled computer.
I forget that we have a hip young crowd. They probably don't even know what Mr. Microphone is. But
was that Ron Popeil? Was that the guy with the knives too? Did he sell Mr. Microphone?
Yes,
very good.
He did.
That was his first big breakthrough.
That guy is
scary.
He looks like he gave birth to that motivational speaker guy, Tony Robbins, who also scares the hell out of me.
Me too. Tony is so scary.
I'm scared of his big long fingers.
Have you
seen his hands? They're like alien hands.
Yeah, don't touch me,
they're
Tony
really,
Robbins.
Really long.
He could be one of those
hands.
Folks from They Live, but in his defense, he did a really awesome video.
Well done.
With some old Holocaust survivor, and how this woman is so positive, I don't know. So, to his credit, I know he's a motivational speaker, and I just call that shim sham. You know, if you can't motivate yourself, you got to pay someone else to motivate.
You don't have serious problems. Motivational speaking is good when you're in a funk. I like it. I believe that most of that stuff actually works if you'll put it to use. Like when I was doing sales and stuff, man, that stuff really helps when you hear no, 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 no all day long. Or if like you're dating, I mean, it's the same thing. Brian's used to that, the no, no, no. But
I don't need a motivational speaker. I just need porn, man.
He's taking the easy way. Well, you know, I will say this much. My opinion has recently changed. I do like The Secret. I saw it on Netflix, and I procrastinated watching it. I said, no, I'm not going to watch it. Wow, that's, you know, that's pretty. The thing that sold me was the chicken noodle soup for the soul guy. I figured if he's on board, then maybe there's a little legitimacy. I don't know. I'm sure that's a logical fallacy that I don't know the name of.
Brian tried to write his own book about his secret.
I did, as a matter of fact. Boy, that went nowhere. I took it to a lot of publishers. Yeah. Oh, do you still have the audio of that? I would take it to the publishers. They'd get to page three and they'd scream and say, get out of my office and never come here again.
Yeah. You should hear The Secrets. Quite good.
Do you say them in like a whisper?
Oh, I say them. It's kind of like this, Alice. It's like, and now I have another secret. Are you ready? It's like that. And it just goes on and the secrets are revealed and nobody ever gets past number two. And then it's just all hell from there.
Number two is a doozy.
Oh, yeah, boy, is it ever.
Even the German crowd thought it was too gross. So, I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
When the Germans censor you, you're in trouble, dude.
And I thought that was going to be my target audience. And yeah, they wouldn't even have it.
No.
They were not going to stand for it.
No, they did not.
Well, somebody posted something in the Daily Paul chat room the other day, and I, like a moron, asked, well, what does that mean? And they posted BME. Do you guys know what BME is? And then they started giving me pictures, and I clicked on the first one, and I was like, oh.
No, I don't know what it is. Could you please explain it?
It's body modification. I don't know what the E part stands for, but these people are really doing some extreme things to their genitals. It seems to be concentrated on their genitals. And it's the pictures that they were posting over. I like I said, I was stupid and I asked what it was. Wow. Why would you do
details,
that?
More details and slower. Explain it.
Karen, where are your hands?
Above the table, please.
Keep going. Hands slower, on the keyboard, slower, son. Hands slower. On the keyboard. I just made the mistake,
hey, man,
Allison.
You don't pay for porn.
I just Google imaged BME, and I'm really sorry I ever did that.
Yes. Isn't it awful? Like, what the hell are you doing? Then he was telling me about some guy that he moved. God, I can't remember the screen name on this guy. And he's probably going to be pissed at me later. But he said he moved his urethra. That was his not this particular chatter, but he said that's
urethra. Are you trying to?
He rerouted it, and he said that's part of this BME thing. And I said, God, now you need a new hobby.
Why would you reroute your urethra?
I don't even know how that's done.
I don't know. I don't want to find out. I'm in pain right now.
This is the part of the dark web that should remain dark.
Yes, it's a part that I do not ever want to illuminate. Oh, good Lord. There, you know, people think that I'm one of the most twisted, perverted people in the world. And when they say that to me, I say, just go online. They come back to me and think I'm an angel.
Yeah.
Remember the early days of the internet? Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. It would take like 35 minutes to download a picture of Janeway.
Yes.
Remember.
Yes, so it would.
AOL would be hollering at you, and you'd almost get done, and someone would call you, and it'd throw you off the line. Young listeners don't even know. Back like when you had to use phone line, and somebody would always pick it up. Oh, my gosh. Remember that? And you'd be like, Mom, I'm downloaded.
I'm downloading porn.
Janeway. What are you doing? You know, and of course, it was always like Janeway's head on someone else's body. It was poorly photoshopped back then, right?
Yeah. Oh, I remember all of those the celebrity fakes. Allison, you asked the question, remember the early days of the internet? I didn't have the internet at home, and we had it in the office, but we didn't get it until very late. We're talking like 2000 or 2001. We're a radio station, and we're still using typewriters at this point, right? Well, then we got
Mr. Mike.
And the Mr. Microphone. And then we got the internet. I would sneak into the station at night and play on that until like 5 o'clock in the morning because it was wonderful. I thought the internet was for two things, porn and trolling, or trolling and porn. You could combine the two and it was just majestic.
And it's really never changed for Brian.
It hasn't. I'm still stuck there.
He's still the two reasons.
All I do is porn and troll.
Oh, man.
Is that's a .bit domain you should probably reserve now. Troll porn.
Oh, that's a great
trolling
idea.
For porn .bit.
Great idea.
If you can get to a point where you can actually start taking that in school, you know, where you're like, oh, I'm a computer major. Well, what's your concentration? Oh, trolling.
Well, if you can get a degree in, like, what is it, rhetoric? Berkeley offers a degree in rhetoric. And then somebody was offering a degree in Keanu Reeves. So trolling should definitely be there.
You could be like, okay, well, here's how to belittle someone if they're using an iPhone instead of an Android. You know, you have a whole chat. And then here's how to post links incessantly, like our friend Johnson, how he always just hits you with link and link and link and link of whatever his argument is. Yeah. We have some real professional trollers. I mean, high-level trollers.
And I wish these guys could make some money off of it, man.
Well, if they're CIA page trolls, see, they're just not doing it right.
Oh, that's very true, too. I wonder how many of our friends really are CIA.
Well, you know, that's I started asking that question when that one girl turned out to be a fink and she ratted on someone to save her own hind end regarding
the Litz.
Yeah, I don't remember her name. I think we're still friends on Facebook, but I thought, oh man.
I really liked Stacy too. That was hard. That was tough.
Didn't she used to write for like the Center for a Stateless Society or whatever? And I was like, wow, she turned like state's evidence. That was quick.
She was saving her butt and threw somebody under the bus. That happens. I think that's kind of.
No, who is going to be the history? Who's writing all the history of the Liberty Movement? Like,
I've
chapter
always
two, the first major controversy.
I dabble in making documentaries, and I always thought that would be a really cool documentary to go back to the kind of the beginnings and just interview how it grew in chains of people and how they're linked together. But it's so big now, there's just no way I could. I mean, it would be a 10-hour movie, you know? I mean, I can't get everybody that's come by. But I think I probably could have pulled it off by 2007 or 8.
Well, yeah, 07 and 08 is when I always look to as really like the winter of 07 was when it was really obvious that we weren't alone anymore, that we weren't just a few, one or two or three people scattered somewhere and some crazy old guy rambling in Denny's that's like, yeah, you Liberty. You know, we were really a massive movement, and we were talking yesterday on the show about all the success we've had, just little successes from stopping the war in Syria to the thing with the FCC now and the Department of Homeland Security retracting the database, the license scanner database. I mean, amazing victories.
I remember saying to someone, I was like, oh, that's kind of so 2008. Like, that was so long ago or something in the Liberty Movement. But stuff has really changed. I mean, the people I used to talk to that were so pro-politician are like complete anarchists that live on a farm now, you know? I mean, they're like, there's a whole bunch of movement in 5 years. So it's funny that we refer to it as the old time, 2008, back in the day. But the before time.
But it really is funny how interlinked this movement is. And I remember I remember always being the crazy libertarian, because I think I've been libertarian most of my life, even at points when I didn't know that I was libertarian or whatever you want to call it. And then I remember discovering the great, say it with me now, Alex Jones. And it was from Alex Jones that I started finding more and more interconnected individuals, and then finding their shows and finding their work and finding, you know, their activism. And it's funny because, you know, we're sitting here tonight talking, and without the internet, we never would have come together like this. That's for sure. It was really the internet that brought us all together. And it's funny, I think back on some of these people that I once idolized, for lack of a better word, now I'm friends with them. You know, now I'm working with them. And it's just, it's absolutely mind-blowing on what we can do when we come together like this. And I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Here. I mean, the internet is, I love that we're broadcasting a radio station 24/7, all without an FCC permit. I laugh and smile at that every day that I wake up, man, because, I think it's so wonderful to be able to circumvent the government peacefully and to be able to meet other liberty-minded people, have them on a show. We're talking. We've been, you know, broadcasting. This is stuff that would have cost, you know, $50,000 or $100,000 even in our lifetimes. I'm an Xer. So even in like 1990, this was totally impossible. Even as recently as I said, 2007, the software, mm-hmm. you could do it. I believe the first internet radio station went online in 93, but it was very technical. Where we are now, I can't imagine where we're going to be in another presidential cycle, because really we're talking about when Obama got elected.
You're exactly right. And nothing excites me more as to knowing that this is not the end and to knowing that there is a lot more to come. I mean, we can sit there and go, wow, this is working so well. But like you said, we know in 5-10 years, where is this technology going to take us? And let's face it. I mean, I work in radio. I do radio. Radio is my life. But radio is also a dying medium insofar as the federally controlled radio stations in this nation. The internet is the new wave. It truly is the place where true voices can be heard without that sort of censorship. And it's just wonderful to even begin to imagine where we're going to be in a few years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's gotten so easy. Like back in the day, back in 2008, in the early 2000s, I used to have to, you know, listen to podcasts, record, download them, then bring them into my car and play them and rig it through some sort of radio, either like a transmitter or something like that, because I couldn't find any stations out there that I liked or agreed with the host. So I would download, you know, Free Talk Live was the first big one I remember getting back in 2000. And then what happened was now with smartphones and stuff, I just hit play and it streams to my phone into my car.
Yeah.
And I bypass radio. I have not listened to regular radio probably in 5 years. I mean, I'm not joking, because there's no stations here in Savannah I give a darn about. They just don't play any good talk.
I'm laughing, Taryn, because I'm in the radio business, and I don't listen to radio except for very, very small increments. It's all on my phone, man. It's all Spotify or it's all talk shows or whatever.
Right. I mean, like Allison's network here that she's putting on. Those are the stuff I'm interested in, and it's just not on a lot of mainstream radio yet.
Well, and I'll tell you, you know, I mean, it really shows you how the model is different, because as I was saying yesterday, we are over 600,000 views, 38,000 unique IPs that have come to Daily Poll Radio. And the listenership, even though it's impressive, we get thousands of people that listen to the stream. It's nowhere near that. We have just a few on-demand episodes from a few hosts, just maybe, you know, a couple months worth. And the downloads on those files are what is driving all of this traffic. So the model is different. Like you said, it's let's sync up to a show or a podcast that I want to hear. And that's what these people are doing. Even though we do broadcast, you know, 24/7, I am amazed, because I would have liked to have forced it. I would like to have way more traffic on the stream than I do on the site. But if that's the way that the market says it's going to be, then who am I to fight them?
Well, sure. I mean, time shifting has been something that we've seen in the marketplace for a long time. I mean, go back to the battles between the movie studios and the VCR industry. And
Brian,
and
wait, you got to explain what time shifting is. You lost me.
I'm sorry. Time shifting is we're on a busy schedule and a program that we want to watch or listen to is on. We can't make it fit that schedule, so we want to record it or download it on demand at a later time. You know, there was always a lot of controversy about that. And in this day and age with the internet, I mean, that really is the thing, Allison. You know, sure, 24 hours a day, but if somebody has to work a night shift and they can't have access, it's wonderful that they can go over there and grab that host show, download it, and listen to it, you know, up on their own time and their own schedule.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's, you know, I couldn't even believe that when my host gator told me this, we went through all the stats last week because we were getting 502 gateway timeout errors on dailypaulradio.com. And I was like, hey, this is 3:30 in the morning. I've got a pretty hefty account. And then we went through the stats and he said, well, yeah, you have a hefty account, but it's not really built to handle 500,000 views in a month. And I said, oh, my God. So I've been calling him and pestering the crap out of him, and he's been walking me through how to read all the stuff, and today I was able to see where people are going on the site, and it's downloads of these podcasts.
me and it's pretty much just me and Brian spoofing your site. Half a million times.
Well, I asked the host. I said, no.
I've got a lot of downloads of that one show.
I said, do these include like spam and bots? And he said, no, no, those are already below. And I said, oh, well, it, what? And then he showed me that number. And that was, of course, higher than this, than the 500,000 at the time. But we've now crossed six. And it's I'm just blown away. I can't really process that many people coming to a site because I've never been part of any. Even in its heyday, the Smoking Argus, the most it ever got in a month was like 40 or 50,000 views. I mean, nowhere close to a half a million.
And that was all because of my articles. I just want to point out.
Absolutely,
I used to work with Allison at that magazine a little bit. I just contributed once in a little while, but I just have to take credit for that. That was the whole. It's just like your show ratings right now.
Where Taryn Lupo goes, the ratings will follow.
Well, I got to say, you did manage to match today. I'm looking at the stats today. We matched earlier. It's dropped now, but we matched earlier what we had on the stream for serious. Ron Paul. So, I mean, there must be some truth to this.
Oh, no, no, no. I meant where he goes, the ratings drop.
That's Well, we held him up until about the last 10 minutes.
You didn't let him finish the sentence.
Yeah, the ratings will follow downward into the gutter and flush down the toilet of life. That's where Taryn Lupo takes everything.
He didn't tell me that caveat. He said he would bring the ratings, but you're right, I didn't let him finish that sentence.
Bring the ratings ... down, down, down. That's where it goes.
Well, gentlemen, we're just about out of time this evening, so are we going to get you guys to be doing a show here? Is that the plan?
Yes, the Liberty Cats, soon to launch. Isn't that right, Taryn?
We hope to have a good spot three times a week is what we're aiming for, and we'll see where it goes from there. We just hope your listeners will tune in, and we'll talk about anything ridiculous you can think of.
Absolutely. Well, if tonight is any indication, the ratings are definitely up for this evening overall, and I can't wait. I love adding new content. I think it's an excellent way for us to reach out, and I'm sure your downloads will be adding, and you guys will probably get us over a million.
Yeah.
And then we're going to celebrate. I'm going to pop a camp, what do you call that, champagne. If we get over a million views next month, then I'm just going to, I don't even know. I'll drink some champagne.
This will be beautiful, and I'll toast right along with you. Allison, I want to tell you thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for having me on the program tonight. You really are just a great host. You're a lot of fun. You're doing great work. You're doing great work for the Liberty Movement. So thank you so much for all of your great contributions.
Well, thank you so much, Brian. And to Taryn, I guess the call dropped. But yeah, definitely thanks so much for coming on the show this evening. I look forward to getting your guys' first show and getting this onto the regular rotation. So thanks again. And I hope we get a chance to talk again soon.
Definitely. I look forward to it.
All right. Take care, Brian. And if you hear Taryn, say it. Let him know that I said goodbye.
I will.
Thanks a lot. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. One for 2 hours. That's Brian Hagan and Taryn Lupo. They're going to be adding a show here to the network on Daily Paul Radio three times a week, which means we're going to be offering even more hours a day. I believe at the last count, I had 16 hours a day of original content every day, Monday through Friday. Plus, we have a great weekend lineup as well. Check us out, dailypaulradio.com. Like us over at Facebook, facebook.com/dailypaulradio.
You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.